I want to congratulate all of you for being here on this very important day of the Christian year. We all know that what happened on this day 2,000 years ago was like no other day before or since. Today that literally changed the world. And so the fact that you've taken time out of your busy schedules today to come out and commemorate this occasion says a great deal about you. Of course, I realize that we're all few in number, and that's okay. That's the way it was on that first Good Friday as Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth. There were just a few people who were there. A detail of soldiers to carry out the gruesome deed of crucifixion, and a few women who didn't mind being associated with the crucified. Frankly, I can understand why people choose to stay away on Good Friday. Religious faith in our time and place is supposed to be positive and uplifting and spiritual. But let's face it, on the surface, there isn't a whole lot that appears to be positive or uplifting or spiritual about a man being tortured on a cross. It's not the kind of thing that gets us here on any day to celebrate, and it certainly isn't the kind of thing that would get us here on this day, on Good Friday, to hear about a man being tortured and brutalized. But of course, the man who's being crucified is not just any man. It's not just any person. The person being crucified is Emmanuel. It is God with us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the one who's come to show us the depths of God's love for us. So perhaps the first thing we need to say about the gruesome proceedings that occurred on this day is that they reveal something about God. They reveal to us the depths of God's love for each and every one of us. Good Friday reminds us that God comes to be in our midst, not just to share our humanity, but God comes to be in our midst as a human being who submits himself to be dehumanized for our sakes. We often pay a great deal of attention to the violence that happens to Jesus on Good Friday. But it's not just the violence, but it's the shame. It's the humiliation. It's the fact that Jesus is dehumanized on this day that makes this day so momentous. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone being dehumanized. It happens all around us, of course, not in our own country, but all we have to do is turn on the TV or turn on the internet or read the papers, and there are plenty of instances of people around the world who are dehumanized and brutalized. Several years ago, while living in Atlanta, I saw an exhibit put together by two professors from Emory University. The exhibit was called Beyond Sanctuary, and they had actually solicited from around the country, but especially in the South, for old photographs and postcards of lynchings that had taken place in the early part of the 20th century. And to their surprise, they received hundreds of old photographs and postcards of people who had actually been lynched. Some of these photographs and postcards had been in families for years and years, forgotten, but they were there, and people submitted to these two professors these postcards and photographs of people who had been lynched. It's quite shocking and disturbing to see some of those photographs. One was a woman hanging from a tree over a lake, a pregnant woman, and she was hanging from a tree over a lake. Another was of a man who was bound to a tree, and his charred body was there for all to see. The other was a before and after shot of a man, a middle-aged man, whose picture was taken before he was lynched, and then they showed him after he was lynched, a lifeless body brutalized and subjected to great cruelty. But the most shocking and disturbing thing about all of these photos was not just the sadistic violence. The shocking and disturbing thing about them was what the violence said about the people who were subjected to the violence. It said that they were nothing. It said that they were ciphers, that they were less than human, that they were zeros, that they were dehumanized. The remarkable thing is that this is the exact place where God chooses to be in our story. God, the creator of the world, God who is with us in the Lord Jesus Christ, God who demands and calls upon all of our allegiance, chooses to be in this story at this place. He chooses to be with the dehumanized. He chooses to be identified as a cipher, as a zero. He chooses to be identified as a person who has no rights. He chooses to be on the cross. It is at the cross where Jesus hangs, and he is there not for his sake, but he is there for our sake. He is there not because of what he has done, but he is there because of what we have done. And that leads to the second thing we want to say about Good Friday, is that Good Friday shows us the truth, not just about God, but it also shows us the truth about ourselves. It shows us how lost and how far astray we are from God. It shows us that we can't really stand the presence of God in our midst. It shows us that we would rather crucify the Lord Jesus Christ than to follow him. It shows us that we would rather dehumanize God with us than to be humanized by him. We all know that Jesus dies because of our sins. As the Apostle Paul says in the book of Corinthians, God made Jesus sin. Jesus actually becomes sin on the cross. He actually takes our sin upon himself. We know that Jesus dies because of our sin. The problem is, I suspect, that for many of us, our definition of sin is so circumscribed and so truncated that we really don't see ourselves as being complicit in it. We really don't see ourselves as the people who contribute to the crucifixion of Jesus. Sin is what other people do. It's what those morally compromised people do. It's what those obviously bad people do. But one of the things I try to impress upon people during the season of Lent and also during Holy Week is that the people who crucify Jesus, they're not bad people. They're not morally compromised people. The people who are responsible for Jesus being crucified are good, moral, decent people. People just like you and me. Religious people who are concerned about morals and decency. Patriots who fear that Jesus is some kind of radical revolutionary endangering the country. People who are responsible for the maintenance of law and order. Soldiers just carrying out their duty. They're all just doing what they believe is right. But they don't know what they're doing. Just like we, just like us. Sometimes we just do what we think is right, but most of the time we don't know what it is we're doing. Even when we're trying to do what is right, we often don't know what it is we're doing. The people who Jesus asked forgiveness for on the cross are not the morally compromised people. Jesus brought God's forgiveness to them all through the gospel narratives. But on Good Friday, On this day, as Jesus is hanging between heaven and earth, the people that he asked forgiveness for are the good people, the decent people, the moral people, the people who are concerned with decency and righteousness and law and order. They are the people who have Jesus crucified. We are the people who have Jesus crucified. And unless we understand that, unless we come to see our own place in this story, and unless we come to understand our own complicity in what happened on Good Friday, then we miss the depth of this story. We miss what this story is all about. And we miss the depths of how far we too have gone astray from what God has called us to be. What I find interesting about this narrative, this crucifixion narrative, is that everyone is trying to protect themselves. Everyone is frightened, and they're trying to protect themselves. Peter is trying to protect himself. He's frightened that he might be identified, and so he's trying to protect himself, and he denies Jesus. The religious leaders like Caiaphas are trying to protect themselves. They're frightened about what's going to happen to the nation, and so they arrest Jesus. Pilate is frightened. He's trying to protect himself. At least in John's gospel, he knows that Jesus is innocent. He wants to release Jesus, but he's frightened of the crowd, and so he tries to protect himself, and so he gives Jesus over to be crucified. The only person who's not trying to protect himself is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. He's not concerned for himself. He's concerned for all of us. He's concerned for me and for you and for the whole world. But the fact is, we have rejected that love. We can't stand the presence of Jesus in our midst. We can't stand the presence of God in our midst. We don't want the light of God to be among us. We don't want that. And so we cry, crucify him. Get him away from us. Crucify him. We don't want Jesus. We don't want that Son of God. We would rather have Barabbas than Jesus. That's the kind of Son of God we want. Crucify him. Get him away from us. And we still say that today. We might not say it in those words, but every time we act in ways that are contrary to the way that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ calls us to act and to live, we say, crucify him. Crucify him. The good news for us, even on this darkest of days, the good news for us is that the cross, the very way that we say no to God, is the very way that God says yes to us. The cross, the very way that we reject God, is the very way that God embraces us. The cross, the very means by which we thought we were closing down God's future, is the very means by which God opens up the future for us and allows us to be able to live into our true humanity. So I congratulate you for being here today. You have not hid your faces from the truth. You have come here to hear the truth, to hear the truth about God, and to hear the truth about who we are and what we do and what we have done to God's Son in our midst. Jesus says it's finished. That's what everyone thought. Everyone thought it was finished. Pilate thought it was finished. The religious leaders thought it was finished. The disciples thought that Jesus was finished. The crowd thought that he was finished. They all thought it was finished. And in a way, they were right. It was finished. What was finished with sin's dominion over us. What was finished was death's hold over our hearts and our imaginations. Jesus accomplished on the cross what God had sent him to do. But there were only a few people who were there to see it. And now we are here today to see it. We have not hid our face from the cross. We have not hid our face from the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was stricken, even though he was bruised, we have seen that. As we go in to this Holy Week, and as we await Easter, let us take what we have seen and witnessed about God's love for us deep down inside of our hearts. Sunday will be Easter, but before then, Jesus is in the grave. Saturday, there will be silence. There will be nothing. Just as on the first week of creation, after the sixth day, when God says it's finished, when God's great creative activity is finished and done, on the seventh day, God rests. And so God's great act of new creation has already begun on the cross. Tomorrow, God will rest. But a new age has already begun. A new creative act has already begun. A new reality, a new beginning will begin on Easter Sunday. I trust that those of you who have come here today to witness what God has done for all of us through God's great love will be there in the garden on Sunday to bear witness to the new age, the new day, the first day of the week that God has made available through the cross that happens on this day, on this Good Friday. Let us pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for our Lord. We give you thanks for the cross, as gruesome as it is. We know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not have to die, but he submitted willingly to that cross. And what we thought was an instrument of torture becomes the means for our own salvation. What we thought was an instrument that would close down your future becomes the very way in which you begin a whole new act of creation. We ask that you be with us now as we continue to contemplate the events that took place on this day. Help us to understand the momentousness of this day, and help us to direct our hearts in our minds to the freedom that we have in you that was born on the very tragic events, yet glorious events that took place on this Good Friday. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.